Our Old Testament reading, 2 Chronicles 34. We'll read verses 29 through 33. If you're able, let's stand for the reading of Holy Scripture. Second Chronicles 34, beginning at verse 29, the Word of God. Then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, and all the people, great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin take a stand. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did, according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Thus Josiah removed all the abominations from all the country that belonged to the children of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God. All his days they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers. Our Old Testament text. Then if you would turn in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 11 through 18. If you're looking in the Pew Bible, it's on page 634. Hebrews chapter 10 and 11 through 18. Again, the Word of God. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. The Word of God. You may be seated. The title of the message this morning is Swearing a Covenant Before the Lord. A few words of explanation. First, I'm not using the word swear in the sense of using coarse language, but in the sense, make a solemn promise. In our text this morning, Josiah solemnly promises to follow the Lord and keep his commandments with his whole heart. Second, a review. What is a covenant? A covenant is a contract or agreement between two parties. In the covenant of grace, God takes the initiative and enters into a binding agreement between him and his people, saving us from our sins and promising earthly blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. As sinners, none of us deserves eternal life. Salvation is all of grace, based on the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. When we receive him by faith, we are called to a life of obedience in gratitude for our salvation. When we obey the requirements of the covenant, we are blessed. When we disobey, we come under divine chastening. The chastening we experience is unpleasant, but brings forth fruit unto godliness. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights, Proverbs 3:12. In our text today, it has been 57 years since Judah's last good king, Hezekiah. The people of the land had all but forgotten God's law. Josiah came to the throne when his father, wicked King Amon, was murdered. He was only 8 years old when he became king. As he matured, he became more and more committed to the Lord. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year of his reign, he began to destroy the high places with their detestable idolatry. When he was 25, he began to rebuild the temple of the Lord, which hadn't been repaired since the days of King Jotham a century earlier. As the work progressed, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. In essence, he rediscovered the Bible. The book was brought to King Josiah and read to him. When he heard God's word, he was stunned. He tore his clothes, a sign of deep grief over the idolatry that had long been practiced in his kingdom. He gathers his people together and reads to them the Book of the Covenant, perhaps the larger context of what we call the Sinai Covenant, Exodus 19 through 24. Commentators are a little divided on this. Some say he read the whole Pentateuch. I have a little trouble understanding how that could have been done, especially in one day, but it's possible. Others say, well, maybe just the shorter portion, Exodus 21 through 23. I take it probably Exodus 19, which speaks of the people gathering around Mount Sinai to receive the law. Exodus 20, God speaks the law from heaven. And then 21 through 24, he gives the basic case laws that go into more detail about the kind of obedience that pleases God, laws prohibiting idolatry, setting out family roles, laws concerning violence, property, theft, care for poor and the poor and widows, justice, Sabbath rests, annual feasts, etc. Under Josiah's leadership and the moving of the Holy Spirit, the people of Judah and Jerusalem recommit themselves to the Lord. It's an amazing turnaround. We will look at Josiah as a godly leader, a good example, and an effective persuader. First, a godly leader. In the first verse of this chapter, which we did not read a moment ago, we learn that Josiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. This is a remarkable attestation concerning Josiah's character. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Ultimately, it is the Lord alone who determines right and wrong. People cannot agree what is right or wrong. Things that were considered sin for thousands of years are now considered a civil right. And if you disagree, you are a bigot. That's how it's presented. Sinners want to justify their sin. The Bible says, "Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil." Again, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The only infallible guide to right and wrong is the Bible. Josiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord. God himself attests through this scripture that this man is good. Out of 20 kings of Judah, only 6 were good: Asa, Jehoshaphat, Uzziah, Jotham, Hezekiah, and Josiah. Josiah was thus the last good king Israel ever had. The next 4 kings, 3 of them his own sons, were wicked. within 23 years, Jerusalem would be captured after a lengthy siege by Nebuchadnezzar. The temple would be destroyed by fire. Judah's last king would have his eyes put out and be forcibly exiled. Judah would be reduced to a province of Babylon. Josiah was a godly leader. Godly means God-like. The Lee is a shortened form of the older English God-like. Virtue and purity and goodness are determined by God's own character. God is good. That which is godly is like God. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. The Lord is long-suffering and patient and kind and ready to forgive. When we hear God's law and its righteous demands, it is a description of God's holy character. God commands it because God wants his people to be like himself. God is the epitome of perfection, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. That kind of perfection is terrifying to the unconverted person. Man, like Adam in the garden, wants to hide from God, but that's impossible. At the last day, we will all stand before him and give account. Only those whose sins are laid on Christ and who are clothed with his perfect righteousness will be received into his holy presence. As Paul puts it in Romans 10, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. When King Josiah heard the law of God that had been discovered during the repairing of the temple, he tore his clothes and wept over his sins. He was told, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Josiah humbled himself before the Lord, and he was saved. He didn't try to assert his own goodness. He humbled himself before God, the God of infinite holiness, and so must we. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Josiah sought the Lord. He didn't do this by himself as a solitary intellectual exercise. He sought recourse in the presence of the Lord. Our text informs us that the king went up to the house of the Lord, and so must we. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. God is not to be sought in the library, but in the company of his worshipers. Under the new covenant, we don't need to make a pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem. In God's good providence, the temple was destroyed, and the worship of God is now decentralized. We need to seek recourse to a faithful church where his word is preached and he is called on in spirit and in truth. Just as the king went up to the house of the Lord, so must we. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Psalm 20, verses 1 and 2. Zion there being a picture, a word picture of the church. Josiah was a godly leader. How the world needs godly leaders. So many worldly leaders use the power of their office to enrich themselves, whether through official graft, influence peddling, or the accepting of bribes, but not our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Christ gained nothing materially when he came to this earth to save his people. He did not come to take advantage of his people, but to give himself for his people. At his death, his only earthly possession, a coat without seam woven from the top throughout, became the prize in a drawing, as the soldiers who presided over his crucifixion cast lots to see whose it might become. Christ did not come to fleece the sheep, but to give his life for the sheep. He died that we might live. Josiah was a godly leader who sought the Lord. But not only was he a godly leader, he was also a good example. And that's my second point, a good example. Josiah's life was profoundly impacted by the discovery of the law of God in the temple. He read it and profited from it. But he knew that his people, too, must hear its message. Our text tells us that he sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, and all the people, great and small. Others must hear the life-giving words that had impacted him. He wasn't like the parent who pushed the kids out of the house on a Sunday morning, sending them to church on a bus so that he himself could sleep in. No, he was a good example, going up to the house of the Lord with the people following him. A good leader leads by example. Parents especially are to be godly examples to their children. It is bad advice to tell a child, "Don't do as I do, do as I say." When I was in my teens, one of my friends had a father who was a heavy smoker. He had emphysema, which was aggravated by his smoking. He knew full well that smoking was bad for him, and he wanted his son to avoid the fate. So he would tell his son, "Son, don't take up smoking. It's bad for you." He would literally blow smoke at his son while telling him not to smoke. Now, of course, this was 50 years, well, more than that, 60 years ago, 65 years ago. The other day I saw a sign somewhere that just said, "No level of secondhand smoke is safe." No, I can't vouch it. Is that science or not? I don't know, but that was what the poster said. But just imagine this, back in the late 50s, early 60s, here's a man blowing smoke into his son's face and saying, "Son, don't smoke." Well, certainly this man, whoever he was, I don't even remember particularly at this point, but certainly this man was not practicing what he was preaching. Telling a kid not to smoke while smoking yourself is hypocrisy. But Josiah set a good example before his people. He didn't just send his people to church, he went there himself. It reminds me of the psalm, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." In the final analysis, only the soul that longs and faints and cries out for the living God will be saved. Only the soul that says, "Take the world, but give me Jesus. He is the pearl of great price. I cannot live without him," will be saved. As he tells the prophet Jeremiah, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall seek me with all your heart." King Josiah didn't just tell his people to read the Bible, he read it to them. And that's what our text says this morning. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. God's word had impacted his life, and he desperately wanted it to impact his people's life as well. This morning we heard Christian parents take a vow to teach their children the principles of our holy Christian faith, revealed in the Old and New Testaments and summarized in our confession and catechisms. Parents, fulfilling this vow is going to take effort on your part. Fulfilling this vow involves more than simply dropping them off at Sunday school, more than telling them to go to their bedroom and read their Bible. the best way to demonstrate to your children that the Bible is important is to read it yourself. Put down your phone, turn off your devices, and read your Bible. How hard is that? Your children need an example. Your children need to see you read the Bible. You tell them that the Bible is important. Does your practice bear that out? I remember my own mother and father reading the Bible as I grew up. Many times I would walk into the kitchen or dining room to find my dear mother reading her Bible. My father would read the Bible to us after a family meal. Their example taught me the importance of the Bible. If we read the Bible as parents, reading it on our own and reading it to our children, we set a godly example for our children. Blessed is the child who, from an early age, hears the Bible read in his father's or mother's voice. How much more powerful that is than turning on a recording of some professional actor reading the Bible. And I do listen sometimes to some of the great voices reading the Holy Scriptures, and it's very moving. But your children need to hear the Bible being read by you in your voice, with your mannerisms, even with your stuttering or however it would be. The word of the living God in the parent's own voice is powerful. Parents, read the whole Bible to your children. Don't skip over the difficult parts. Let your children hear you struggle with the pronunciation of difficult names. Hearing you read hard-to-pronounce names will be an encouragement to your child to give it a try, too. Choose a time that works for you, perhaps after a meal or before bedtime, and read the Bible with your family every day. You say it's important. All of us believe the scripture in Psalm 119, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Well, if so, then show that it's important by reading it with your family. Shut off all electronic devices for an hour. Read the Bible and have a good old-fashioned family discussion. Talk about things, but be a good listener too. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to wrath, slow to speak. Show your family members that the Bible is important to you, and that the members of your family are important to you as well. Josiah was not only a good example as a Bible reader, he also was a good example as he personally entered into a covenant with the Lord. Again, in our text, we read that the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart. To perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. Oh, how we need godly leaders who will do that, who will stand publicly and say, "As for me and my house, we are entering into a covenant that we will follow the Lord and obey all his commandments and statutes." Note the thoroughness of Josiah's covenant. It involved a public declaration of loyalty to God, radical obedience, wholehearted sincerity, and deep commitment. Josiah was a godly example to his people, and he remains a godly example to this day. Let us likewise seek to be godly examples. Thirdly, and finally, Josiah was an effective persuader. We read that he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin take a stand. The verb is in the causative form. He caused them to stand. He didn't do this with force or with the threat of force. No, the obedience that Josiah sought was voluntary from the heart. It was accomplished only by the power of God working on individual hearts and minds. People can be made to do things under threat of force, but lasting change is from within, wrought by the Spirit of God. And miraculously, our text records that the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. This unanimous response is almost without parallel in the Bible. How was Josiah an effective persuader? He was honest and sincere. He had a positive, infectious attitude. He was leading the people down a path that he himself was willing to walk. And most of all, the Spirit of God worked in his people's hearts to create a hunger and thirst for righteousness. And the obedience that Josiah sought was not empty promises. It resulted in actions. Thus, Josiah removed all the abominations from all the country that belonged to Israel, the children of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God. All his days they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers. So he was an effective leader. Here is a king, remember, whose own father was a covenant breaker and idolater. Himself converted by the power of the Holy Spirit. He renovated the temple. He purified God's worship. He destroyed the remnants of idolatry out of the land. The larger catechism expounding the second commandment says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." It teaches that the second commandment requires the disapproving, detesting, opposing all false worship. And according to each one's place and calling, removing it and all monuments of idolatry. Christians do not have the authority to destroy property that does not belong to them. But we can each do our part, removing monuments of idolatry from our own homes, businesses, and churches, and encouraging others to remove what Herb Schlossberg called idols for destruction from their property as well. In the words of the hymn, "All idols underfoot be trod, the Lord is God, the Lord is God, to God all praise and glory." Josiah was a godly leader, a good example, and an effective persuader. Oh, how we need such leaders in our day, in the church and in the state, but particularly in our own families. Our emphasis this morning is the family. We have witnessed a baptism by profession of faith and two covenant baptisms. Parents have taken vows to teach the principles of our most holy faith to their children, to pray with and for their children, and to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Our precious covenant children need godly parents, good examples, effective persuaders. They need them in the home. They need them in the church. In the providence of God, our children have received just the parents that God has chosen for them. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm not a good parent. I wish my child could have a better parent. But you've got to remember, God is the God of providence. He gave your children exactly the parents that he wanted them to have. Now we each need to step up to the plate and endeavor to be godly leaders. Endeavor to be the godly leaders, good examples, and effective persuaders that they need. Have we seen a good king swear to a covenant? Here we have seen a good king swear to a covenant. That is a solemn promise, and bind himself before the Lord to be an obedient subject of the God of heaven. In the providence of God, his people joined with him, and a whole generation, a whole society was changed. Commitment to the covenant should characterize all Christians, not just a special class of super Christians, if there would be such a thing. Let us all then solemnly swear a covenant to the Lord. May God give us the grace to do just that. Amen. Let's go to him in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are very glad for Josiah's godly character, his good example and his persuasiveness. Lord, we pray that we, men and women, would likewise be like Josiah and have those qualities. We do pray, Lord, that you will use our individual witness, as insignificant as we might think it is, to change our own families, our church, our society. Lord, we all want to be more like Jesus. Lord, we pray that you will give us the grace to look to you in faith. We pray, Lord, that you will turn our hearts to yourself. Lord, we know that you are the model, even more so than godly Josiah. Lord, thank you that you, in the words of our New Testament text, offered yourself once for our sins. Thank you, Lord, that you ever live to make intercession for your saints. Thank you that even now you are at the Father's right hand, bringing many sons to glory. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.